You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing? Great to have you here tonight. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We are jamming through this Super Bowl week, as they call it. The Super Bowl has almost become like a holiday in this country, so I think it's safe to say Super Bowl week. This is an entertainment show, and the Super Bowl is certainly entertainment. So very excited about that, and a great show tonight. Some really fun topics we're going to discuss tonight. We'll get into all of that. We got a great question and some fun things I found that I'm very anxious to discuss with all of the listeners tonight. It'll be really fun. All of you are going to have chances to weigh in. The phone lines are open, as they always are here at Nightlight, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great to have you here. Sitting in tonight for the kid Conrad Krieger is Aaron Zommers. Always fun to work with you, my friend. How are you tonight?
Doing well. Always fun to work with you also. And, you know, I'm shocked that at this point the Super Bowl is not considered a national holiday. I mean, I'm sure it would be if it wasn't Sunday.
How sad is it, like, honestly, like, in this country, you know, where I feel like Election Day should be a national holiday, it's more likely that Super Bowl Sunday, well, it's already, we already have the day off, but it was during the week, people would probably rather have that as a national holiday.
Oh, you think so? Definitely. I think the majority of Americans, if I had to guess, would probably rather watch the Super Bowl than vote, which is unfortunate.
It's just not even acceptable on any level.
Why not both? You know what? We should play the Super Bowl at the voting booth.
I was just going to say, have a big screen TV set up over, you know, I don't know, over the, like America's Most Wanted or something like that. So how are things in Madison tonight, Aaron? What's cooking down there? What am I missing?
Well, not a whole lot. You know, by this time of day, usually people have head home, and that is the case today. One of the only ones here in the studio. As far as the out of doors, you know, it's warmer than it has been. Still chilly, but we're not talking zero or below wind chills.
For sure. No, it's freezing up here. In northern Wisconsin, we are still dealing with this. I did have this. This was kind of fun today. I love when weird things happen to me in my hometown. And I had to go pay our mechanic. We have this gigantic car called a Toyota Land Cruiser, and I had to go. They did some work on an oil change. I went to pay. While I'm on my way there, I'm trapped behind this driver who, in a 25, it's a side street. I was taking a shortcut. She's going 10. And I'm like, you know, I got a life to lead. Can we pick it up a little bit here? I'm kind of tailgating because I'm looking for a place to pass her. And then I'm like, well, I don't want to freak her out. She finally pulls over a little and I pass her, and she's looking for an address, obviously. I didn't make a big deal. I gave her a wave and I kept going. I go pay the mechanic. I come back 15 minutes later. I'm on the other side of town behind the same car on a bigger street this time, but she's holding up traffic. She's driving. At one point, I almost wanted to motion her over and say, do you need some help? But it was so bizarre that it was the same car and the same driver on opposite sides of town.
I don't know. Maybe the address was just completely wrong the first time. I'm not sure.
It could have been like, let's say it could have been like Vulcan Drive instead of Vulcan Street. Where am I getting Vulcan from?
I don't know. I can't say I've seen a Vulcan Drive or Street.
There should be, though. But I have many driving mishaps up here in Marinette, Wisconsin. There's you get a wide array. We've got a very older population here. So you get a lot of older drivers. You get some young idiot drivers. We have a huge parking lot out by our mall where kids with pickup trucks go and do donuts. Oh, yeah. And there's no, like, the mall, it's just all parking spots from like the 80s when they needed more space. And now there's no lanes or anything. It is an absolute fiasco free-for-all. People just driving over old parking spots. It's insanity. So that's what I'm dealing with up here, Aaron. What do you think about that?
It's pretty crazy how different everybody drives around the state. Like living in Madison, way different than Manitowoc, where I grew up, which is probably a little closer to Marinette. You know, you got the people meeting up in the Walmart parking lot, which is probably sounds like it's a little more used than the one that you're talking about. A little less safe to be doing donuts.
That's insane. But it's just bad driving, too. It's people not adhering to any kind of lanes or whatever. They just drive. If there's no car parked there, they'll just drive over it like it's part of the lane. But I think I cut you off. Please continue.
Oh, I was just going to say, I always have to think very carefully when I'm driving back home in Manitowoc because these speed limit signs are suggestions here, not as much in Manitowoc. But in Madison, people just go.
Really? So they'll nail you in Manitowoc. They're not messing around.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I did get pulled over once. I got a warning. This was before I lived in Madison, but it's no Rosendale or anything where, you know, they sell merch for their driving tickets.
Awful. Rosendale, they don't, like years ago, I got a ticket there. They don't even give you time. Like when they say, when the speed limit goes from like 55 to 35, they expect you to be at 35 within like 20 feet or they'll get you. And that's how they got me. And then you try to say something to a public servant and they kind of think you're giving them attitude. I'm like, I'm asking legitimately a question. Like, how was I supposed to get down to that speed limit that quick? I got two kids in the car. I would have had to like leave a skid mark on the road or something. It's terrible.
Yeah. So, following the law should not necessitate getting whiplash.
No. Or any kind of danger for that matter. That is the voice of Aaron Sommers, ladies and gentlemen. Always fun to partner up with Aaron and have him produce Nightlight. Lots of fun on the show tonight. News, sports, and weather coming up in just about 18 minutes. But our guest tonight, check out these guests. I love this guest lineup. Arthur Ersink will be here from Wisconsin Foodie. Wisconsin is an American state. Arthur will be here after the news. We're going to talk about his upcoming new season, the 16th of Wisconsin Foodie, that drops tomorrow. And then Arthur and I will, he can tell you what's on tap, what you can expect this season. The show is just an Emmy-winning, outstanding piece of television shot right here in Wisconsin, celebrating local food and community. It's just outstanding. So we'll talk to Arthur about that at 5:35 and maybe dabble into some Super Bowl snacks. He's always got some fun, healthy suggestions if you want healthy Super Bowl snacks. Not everybody does. Steve Segrin will be here at 6:35. Steve is an actor, artist, comedian. If you've seen The Godfather of Green Bay, he played Ralphie the bartender. He's been on The Office. He's been on Friends and all kinds of fun credits. And Steve started this list on social media, Aaron, a couple years ago, songs I never need to hear again. And it just kept growing and adding to it. So periodically he comes onto Nightlight and we talk about his list and these songs because they get stuck in your head. So if you don't want bad songs stuck in your head, you might want to turn the radio down for Steve's visit. But you might not want to either because he's hilarious and we're going to have a lot of fun with those songs. And then, did I tell you Sherry Shepherd was supposed to be on the show today? Okay. So her talk show got canceled. Her reps emailed me the other night and said, Terry, her Milwaukee date got canceled for a live show, so she's going to have to back out of the Nightlight appearance. I said, that's fine. You know, I get it. Well, as it turns out, the next morning I read her whole show got canceled. So yeah, she's probably not in a very good place right now. Anyway. So, but Sherry's great, but Mike Toomey, my pal, will be here filling in. Mike is a TV host at WGN, a very funny comedian, and we will talk to Mike in hour number three. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We got great guests. Right now, Aaron, I think without further ado, we should get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, so on this day in history, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective came out starring Jim Carrey. So it got me thinking, what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? I was not a huge fan of Ace Ventura. I thought it was funny. I thought it had two or three big laughs, but I saw it before I really knew who Jim Carrey was. And since then, he has put together quite a body of work. He's done hilarious comedies, some crazy dramas. He's really kind of broadened his acting horizons, so to speak. But let us know what your favorite Jim Carrey film is, and let's have a discussion. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio tonight, on the stream at Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can drop us a stream comment, and I will read it on the radio. Be part of the show, folks. It's always fun when you guys participate. Aaron, you got a favorite Jim Carrey movie?
Well, first, it looks like one of our people watching the radio has already weighed in. Carol on Facebook says The Mask.
Okay. You know, I'm going to open up here a little bit. Carol, that's a great choice. And he was great in it. My pal Rich Jenny was also in the movie. God rest his soul. Aaron, I don't know if I've told you this before. My writing partner and I, Greg Liana, had a script called Dream Girl. It was about a character like Julia Roberts, the most famous movie star in America, stalking a guy who manages like a Steak and Shake. And she's in love with him because he helped her change a tire when she was driving across country in a rainstorm. She loves that he's a normal guy. They have a fling. She goes back to Hollywood. He swears to secrecy. He says, I'll never tell anyone. She says, please don't. The paparazzi will ruin your life. Well, she comes back 2 days later and says, I want you. And he rejects her. And she can't handle that. She makes his life miserable. So the script was called Dream Girl. We were really proud of it. We thought it was really funny. It was like Notting Hill meets Fatal Attraction. And Jamie Kennedy, the actor, was attached to play the lead role. Jamie Kennedy decided to do The Mask 2 first. And sadly, it killed his career. And Dream Girl is still sitting on the shelves at Warner Brothers. Why on earth would you follow Jim Carrey?
Yeah, that's not really, he's not a performer that you can outdo.
No. And especially in a role he's already done. So, Carol, right. You are spot on with Mask. That was a great movie. Jim Carrey had a lot to do in it. It was an excellent showcase of his talents. Dave on the stream says Laces Out. I don't know that script, or I don't know.
I haven't seen that one either. I'm not familiar, but I mean, I know it exists. I can tell you that much.
Sure. I believe you. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Carol. Mine is Dumb and Dumber. It's not a sexy choice, but it's one of my favorite comedies of all time. That's my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
I still haven't seen Dumb and Dumber, which I know I need to. I'll have to watch
you
it this
what
weekend.
I'm doing?
How about that?
You got to watch it, dude. I'm telling you.
I know. I like a lot of his other movies, though. Like, you got to love How the Grinch Stole Christmas, except for
excellent.
That stupid Dahudore song. That's something that should be on my list of songs I never need to hear again. What was I going to say? The Truman Show is also a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And in those serious roles, when he can tone it down a little bit, I think he's excellent. So, all right, folks, we are going to do a very short break coming up in just a moment here. We've got news, sports, and weather about 12 minutes away. Tonight we are talking, we're talking Jim Carrey. So let us know your favorite Jim Carrey movie. After a very short break, I'm going to tell you, we're going to do our Olympic spotlight. We've been focusing on one athlete every night who's competing in the games in Italy starting Friday night. So that'll be fun. We'll tell you who that athlete is coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That is dramatic. That is outstanding. Aaron Zommers, ladies and gentlemen, working the board tonight. Some Olympic music. Do you like the Olympics, Aaron?
I do, yeah. I'm always a fan of the Winter Olympics, personally.
I was just saying that the other night to Conrad that I think the Winter Olympics, for some reason, I don't know if there's more speed or more excitement or the games are more extreme, but I think I'm with you. Other than track and field in the summer, I don't care about basketball as an Olympic sport. I like basketball, but not, I think I like track and field. After that, give me the winter games and the different sports.
Yeah, and I like all the different things you can do with skis. You know, you got the slalom and everything,
yeah,
which is a fun thing to say as well.
I love all the ski events. Cross-country skiing doesn't really do it for me, but the downhill stuff, the biathlon. There's a Wisconsinite in the biathlon that we just talked about the other night. Tonight's spotlight for our Wisconsin athlete competing in the 2026 Olympic Games in Italy, which start Friday night, is Jaden O'Brien. She is a member of the bobsled team. What do you think about the bobsled, Aaron?
The bobsled, that and luge, all the things that when I was a kid, I'd see that and be like, why is this an Olympic sport? You're just going on a sled. And then you get older and realize, oh, no, that's really hard and really dangerous.
It's incredible. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Like, I would watch it and go, oh, they're going in a circle, whoop-de-doo. But it's incredible. And they're you know, I would say the challenge or the danger in it is what makes it so exciting, because even they're wearing helmets, but they're going 100 miles an hour on the luge, and the bobsled is probably put pretty close to that too. Jaden O'Brien is from Pewaukee, Wisconsin, Aaron, and she is a bobsledder, as I mentioned. She's called considered, as are all bobsled athletes, a push athlete. Have you ever heard that phrase before?
I have not, but I mean, to be fair, how else would you describe what you do there? I mean, you push off and sled.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense. I've never heard that phrase before, so I thought that was kind of cool. Her parents were both athletes. She just made the team in August of 2025, which I think is kind of cool. So she's obviously very good at it. She finished fourth with her partner in the two-woman bobsled in Latvia. So that's kind of cool. She's also a three-time pentathlon champ of the NCAA indoor games. Do you know what the pentathlon is?
No. Do you?
Well, I'm guessing there's five. I know pent. Let's break the word
right,
down.
Right, right. I know it's five sports. I just don't know which ones they are. But I Googled it, and apparently, I mean, this could be wrong. This feels wrong. But I think it is fencing, freestyle swimming, horse riding, then a laser run combining pistol shooting and cross-country running, which
so
wild.
That's impressive, because those aren't necessarily Olympic sports. I don't think any of them are, really. So she's obviously got multi-talents, right?
But there are other pentathlons. This is interesting. There's another one that is, you know, 60 meters hurdles, high jump, shot put, long jump, and 800-meter run. So it seems like that first one I listed off is called the modern pentathlon, which is an Olympic multi-sport.
Okay. So you've got the pent. So we know there's five, but the thalon can vary.
Yes. That is my understanding. Okay. Yes.
That makes sense. Good research there, buddy. That was impressive how quickly you pulled that up. So let's cheer for Jaden O'Brien. I think that's exciting. I think it makes the event's more fun when you have something and you know a little bit about their history. And, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, they're from Wisconsin. That might make you cheer for them on its own. But, you know, when you know a little bit about them, she's one of six siblings. They're all, the whole family is athletic. Like, her parents were both college athletes. Very impressive. And she's a push athlete, Aaron. Are you a push? You're like a push producer, though, right?
I suppose, you know, I'm pushing the faders a little bit, but sometimes you pull them to go down. Like, you know, it's hard work moving these sliders that are designed to move quickly and easily.
Totally.
But precisely, there's precision, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about this. I saw this and I shared this with you earlier. There's a grown man who on social media has announced he's going to spend one full year in his bedroom. And he's doing it to be healthy. He's taking this time to eat proper snacks and work out, but he's closing himself off from the outside world. He's calling it the isolation year. His name is Skip Boyce. He's 49 years old, and he's trying to get healthy. He doesn't want the distractions of the outside world or fast food or unhealthy food. So he's going to live in his bedroom for 365 days. Do you think you could do that, Zomers?
I don't think so. Because when I got COVID and it was still new and we didn't really know what was going on, I isolated myself in my room for just, 10 days. And maybe it would be better if I had a treadmill like this guy did, but my butt hurts so bad.
He started January 10th. He's 3 weeks in, and he's going to do 365 days. Here's the weird thing, though. He is married, and his wife is serving him food. So maybe it's a vacation for the wife, too. I don't know anything about this Skip Boyce. Maybe he's not a very pleasant person.
I don't know. I mean, I pulled up the live stream earlier today just to check it out, and I can confirm there is a man in the room by himself. He was sitting with his feet up on the wall and playing on his phone.
See, that's the challenge. I think I could stay in a room for a year if I had my phone.
Oh, if I can just pull up any movie in human history and watch it.
Right. But he's got a bathroom. He's got a virtual trainer. And he says, this isn't about shock value. I wanted to create a controlled environment to step away from constant stimulation, reestablish discipline, and rebuild habits around health, focus, and accountability. Okay.
I hope it works.
I don't hate it. I got to be honest. I think it's admirable in a way. So maybe I'll try that someday. Not during the show, but maybe another time. Hey, we are coming right back, folks. News, sports, and weather is next. And we will be back with Wisconsin foodies Arthur Ersink. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Aaron Zomer's riding shotgun. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Seagren will be here in hour number two, and we are going to be talking about songs we never need to hear again. So Aaron is having fun with our bumper music tonight and prepping us for Steve's appearance, I think. That was a great one. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Glad to have you here, folks. Aaron Zomer is sitting in for Conrad tonight, and our question of the night is, what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? So let us know, and we will read your texts on the radio. Very excited to see all the choices. He's got quite a resume, and there are very few actors you can actually say what is your favorite movie, where even if you're a casual fan, you still know his body of work. So we'll read those as well. But right now, there's a great show we have here in Wisconsin, folks, and now you can see it in parts beyond, thanks to its success. It's called Wisconsin Foodie, and joining me now to discuss this fantastic show, and, maybe some Super Bowl snacks, too. We'll see how it goes. That are not so detrimental to your heart, either, is my pal and Wisconsin foodie creator, Mr. Arthur Ersink. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. Always a pleasure.
Great to have you back. We've got a lot to talk about because you've got some big news. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I have to ask you, do you have a favorite Jim Carrey movie?
You know, when I was when you just said that, it kind of the first one that came into my mind, and I feel bad, I'm probably leaving out, so many great Jim Carrey movies. But the first one that came into my mind is The Truman Show. It's got to be one of my all time favorites. And like I said, I hate the favorite. It gives me such anxiety to think of like what my favorite is, because like later tonight I'm gonna be laying in bed and I'll be like, oh, there's that one Jim Carrey movie. God, did I love that one. So I'm going with the one that came to my head first because I was thinking about it earlier this week, and that's The Truman Show.
I love it. That's a great choice, and I was just kind of peeking ahead at some of the texts that have been rolling in, and Truman Show's a popular one. You can't go wrong with that. That's a great great choice. How about a song? Do you have a song, Arthur, you never need to hear again?
I like all music, my friend. I nice. I encourage it all. I'll take it all.
Okay. Even bad music should be celebrated. It sounds like what you're saying.
There's something for everybody out there, man.
Very diplomatic. very well done. All right, so let's jump in here. You've got some big news regarding this great show, Wisconsin Foodie.
Yeah.
And before we get to the news, tell people that might not be familiar, although I doubt there's anybody out there since you've been on so long, but tell them about Wisconsin Foodie.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Foodie is a local program. You know, I say that, but we're a regional program that that is, you know, we call Wisconsin Public Television our home. So that we're broadcast pretty much throughout all of the state, as well as right now the TPT, which is the public television station in Minneapolis and Twin Cities, as well as WTTW in Chicago. So the show has started growing to a regional level. And it's really just a show about the stories in our own backyard, the food stories in our own backyard. We love to talk about the history of certain foods and really just tell the stories. That's really big for us. We look at ourselves as sort of more of a documentary show and something that gives a little bit more breadth to the subjects.
That's a great great description. And I find when I watch it, I feel like it's one of those shows you can just have on and you feel like you're part of a conversation. It's so mellow. Mm, and, food is very calming. It's almost therapeutic to watch Wisconsin Foodie. And I really tip my hat to you. I don't know if that's something you went for when you started out or if that's a rhythm you found. Did you know what it was going to be when you started out exactly? Or did you have to find your way?
No, I love that you realize that, or that's kind of that's what you take away from the show, because that is really something that we try to bring. That's kind of our calling card, is that that intimacy. That's a really important thing for us, is to make sure that we're bringing people in and people feel like they're part of this conversation or they're part of this family. We want to slow things down in food TV and TV in general these days. Everything's so fast.
Yeah.
Everything's so clipped. Everything's 2 minutes. Everything's 30 seconds. Everything's just, cuts are frantic, and we want to slow things down. I'm working on an edit right now where I think there was a shot that was 45 seconds. I mean, it's unheard of, right? But it's something that that we really take pride in, and more specifically this season alone, this was a really fun season for us, because Luke and I decided that we kind of wanted to go back to the roots, and essentially the whole season was just Luke and I shoot. Like, I would do all the shooting and editing. Luke would do the hosting. And sometimes I'd give Luke the camera and let him do a little shooting. But we thought that if we pared our crew down just to the bare essentials, just us two, that we could dig deeper into these stories. And that was, that goal was achieved. When you don't bring in, a crew of 10 people and lights and all this other stuff, you can really break down the walls much faster. And that's really what we try to do, is make sure we break down those walls and get past any sort of nerves and just let people open up and tell their story.
Very well put. And I agree with you, like your show, like you can breathe when you're watching it. It's like, cause you want to see like some of those cooking shows and the competition shows. It's like, I love the pace of Wisconsin Foodie, and that was very well said. And like the fact that you don't have a huge crew in there, people want content. They want to be invested in your host, Luke, who's great, the food, the community, everything. That's way more important to me than production value. I mean, you got to make it look good, but you guys have just crushed it. So
We try to do both. And, as the original filmmaker, which, over time I kind of stepped away and was more of a director, producer, occasional second camera. I had that calling to come back. I really love the craft of filmmaking and shooting and editing and storytelling. So, it was something that was calling to me, and it was something that I wanted to see, if I can still, instead of yelling at camera guys and editors now that they didn't either get the shot or didn't, put put the piece together the way I envisioned it. Now there's nobody to yell at, Pete. It's just me. I just torture my own self that I didn't get enough B-roll for this one shoot, or, I cut this thing together poorly, or I didn't color correct it right. So there's nobody to yell at except for me anymore. But no, it was really fulfilling. It's one of these shows that, the audience gets to see sort of what we put out there, but the story is so much deeper with us in the moment there. And it's really something where Luke and I are really thinking about how we can show people, even more of the show, like how we make the show, and Luke and I interacting more, behind the scenes, because I think there's so much more there that gets left on the cutting room floor or people don't get to see because there's only one camera there. So, we're trying to figure out how to bring more of that experience to our audience.
My guest is Arthur Ersink. He is the creator of the tremendous Wisconsin Foodie, a show that started here in Wisconsin on PBS and has grown to parts beyond because of its popularity, which is very exciting. How are you? You've had two hosts, Arthur, so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did you find Luke? He seems to just completely, accentuate what you were doing to begin with. And was it hard to find a guy who knows a lot about food, but is also good on camera?
You know, I wasn't necessarily, I have to say, I wasn't really looking at the time. You know, we had the previous host, Kyle Cherik, was really actually, pushing for Luke to be on the show. Luke was a very sort of boisterous, outspoken, I want to say flamboyant in a way, chef from the Driftless area. And, at first I was a little apprehensive. Some of those types of characters can be sort of off-putting to how I like to tell stories. You know, people that want to just kind of preach and talk about themselves, they kind of scare me off sometimes, right? I really, I try to, bring in this like Midwestern humbleness, and I just didn't realize. But I decided that, Kyle convinced me that we should go up there, we should check him out, and I agreed. And Luke had me at like, hello. I fell in love with the man. He was, he was like a preacher at Food Church. He said all the right things. He had the right energy. He had kind of everything. And really as a producer, even with Kyle, the original host, he wasn't a trained host. And that's really what I was looking for. I want somebody that's not necessarily trained as a host, but somebody that can, fill that role and grow into that role, but doesn't come with all that baggage of being a host. So that's what we've been doing with Luke. When I found that, TV can be a tough industry sometimes. And sometimes you need a change and you need to go in a different direction. When you've been on like 18 years, this is our 18th year we've been on. Sometimes you just need to take a left or a right. And I think the time, came where I saw Luke as sort of that next step, the evolution of what we were trying to do. Him being a chef was just, an incredible resource. And the energy and the passion he had for Wisconsin was unlike I've ever seen before. And that's something that was just so seductive. I fell in love with that immediately. And that's just grown for him. He's just a fantastic human. He's somebody I call family. And I love that guy and his family to death.
That's fantastic. All right, Arthur, so I got it wrong. 16 seasons, I said. It's 18 seasons.
Well, it's been 16 on PBS. We had two seasons on commercial television before. Oh. So. Just a little disconnect there, but yeah, we've been doing it for a little while now.
So tell us about your new season. It starts tomorrow. We got you just in time. I'm very excited.
Unbelievable! Yeah, thanks for having me on the night before.
Absolutely, this is great. I'm
the PR circuit here. So tomorrow night is our first is our premiere, and I couldn't tell you, it couldn't premiere with a better episode. We're featuring a spot called the Kinship Community Food Center, and it's based out of Milwaukee. And it started off in a church in River West, the basement of a church. And it was a group of people that came together to feed those that are in need of food. From that time, it's grown into just this massive organization of energy and food and help in the community. They've built a beautiful cafe over on Martin Luther King Drive. That is making some of the best chicken sandwiches out there in Wisconsin right now. It's just such an underrated spot. Wow. But this cafe they built, it's kind of like there's a lot of big corporate offices in there. So it's this most gorgeous cafe you'll ever see. They really focus on like salads and bowls, but like the chicken sandwiches, those are to die for. So really? So we start the show there. We check out the chicken sandwiches. We make some chicken sandwiches. But then they also have an urban farm in Milwaukee, and that farm produces all the food and all the produce that then goes into their food center, which is hosted, I think, multiple times a week, where the community comes out and it's basically they convert this old basement into a grocery store. And forever, anybody that's in need can come down there and just take whatever they need. Cereal. Wow. I mean, you have grocery stores that donate food. You have all this beautiful produce that's grown there. And folks that are in need of food come out and they fill up their bags of food. And not only that, but they're cooked a hot meal that night as well. And the meals are like, it's not just a standard meal. It's like, it's unbelievable food. I mean, when I was there, they cooked chili, and it was just like this top-notch chili that was produced by a lot of the veggies that they grow in their own on their farm. It's just such a cool story, man. It's like it hits you in the heart so hard because you're in there and you see the people that are in need of food. And, you know, when you talk about foodies or you talk about people like us that go around and eat at restaurants, you immediately think of privilege, right? You immediately think they're always in the best restaurants. They're eating the finest food. But for us to tell these stories, too, of what people are doing on the ground that don't always get the most, attention, that to me is the most incredible thing. And the beautiful part about that is there's a chef. Her name is Caitlin Cullen from she used to run a restaurant called The Tandem in Milwaukee. And once she closed that restaurant, she started working at Kinship, and she is responsible for really this sort of the energy to bring all of the food together there.
Awesome. All right. We are coming right back with Arthur Ersink, folks, creator of Wisconsin Foodie. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Spookster86 on the stream says, Aaron... This is directed at Mr. Aaron Zommers. Dumb and Dumber absolutely needs to be the very next movie you see. It's the most quotable movie ever. I don't totally disagree with Spookster86. Thank you for the comment, and hopefully you're making a note of that, Mr. Zommers.
Oh, definitely. I do plan on watching it. I will watch it at least this weekend. We'll see how late I feel like staying up tonight.
It's a fast watch. It's a crackling good watch, as they say. You won't be disappointed. Then we can discuss it. So I highly recommend it. Arthur Ersink is my guest, folks. He's the creator of the show Wisconsin Foodie, a great show that started on PBS. Did it start on PBS Milwaukee or PBS Wisconsin? You're on both now.
It started on PBS Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, at the time, we had connections. It actually started on Channel 12 and then went to CBS at WISN in Milwaukee. It was only in Milwaukee for a while. It was on Channel 12 and then 58. And then we made the connection to PBS. And that's when we started to get syndicated across the state. You know, unfortunately, right now, we're still working with the Milwaukee station. There's been a lot of turnover there. And I think they forgot to schedule Wisconsin Foodie this season. So, little frustration there, but I think they've reassured us that spring they will air the show. So,
wow,
yeah, yep. You know, it's unfortunate because Milwaukee is my backyard. You know, that's where I live. So,
right,
to not have the show on. I mean, it's been on for consistently 16 years, and not to see it on the channel guide here is, kind of sucks. But you know, there's always YouTube, and that's where we're starting to direct a lot of people to YouTube these days, because you know it's great to be able to see that traffic come through. You know, we get a check from YouTube as well, which is fantastic. And you know, so between Wisconsin Public Television and YouTube, those are two great ways to view the show.
For sure. The new season premieres tomorrow night on PBS Wisconsin at 7:30 p.m. So definitely check that out. You describe the show, Arthur, as dedicated to finding the stories behind the food we eat. Mm-hmm. What are some specific stories you've discovered that you found really interesting or fascinating over the years?
You know, I'm gonna say the one that I'm working on right now. You know, that's usually the one that I find the most fascinating, and that is a place called Charlie's Smokehouse. And yes, the show premieres tomorrow, and I'm still working on episodes. So,
oh man, okay.
There's a behind the curtain, not necessarily ideal, but no, Charlie's Smokehouse out in Gills Rock, Door County, just a fantastic smokehouse. Smoked fish for generations. And they are probably some of the best, if not the best, at what they do up there. And Chris is the man. They're still fishing whitefish out of the lake right there, bringing the whitefish in, bringing the salmon in, and they're smoking every day, about 2,000 pounds a day during the season, which is just fantastic. And the product is some of the best. But you know, the stories are just, you know, the stories. So many of the stories just hit me, you know, right in the heart. And just the people that we meet, especially the folks that, you know, some of the farmers, the cheesemakers that aren't used to being on camera, that have never had somebody come and talk to them about what they do. Right. You know, folks that have spent their lives, you know, generations doing what they do, become masters at what they do, but nobody's ever taken the time to talk to them about why they do what they do, what they love about what they do. And those are the ones that resonate with me the most, you know, because as you know, you've been in the same position as I have. It's almost to agree like therapy, right? You know, where when I'm interviewing somebody, I take myself out of it completely and I'm just getting their story. I'm talking to them and I'm trying to extract the story from them, and I just listen and let them talk. And sometimes it's so powerful for people. We develop this just incredible connection where I'll get phone calls for Christmas 10 years later from folks that I've interviewed and talked to, because that connection that we develop is so strong. And, you know, and that's a testament to the production and what we do, is just that's how deep we're willing to get. That's how much we care about telling the story, you know, and that's so I think, you know, my favorite story, the most impactful one is usually the one that I worked on last.
That's a very diplomatic answer, but also very honest answer. So I appreciate that. Hey, before we let you go, can you recommend any Super Bowl snacks? Something healthy, maybe?
Yeah, let's talk about it. You know, so the Packers aren't in the Super Bowl this year. You know, it's hard for me. So I want to promote Wisconsin food and all this great local Wisconsin food. But the beauty of this country is that there's regional food and there's food everywhere around this country. So I would say that let's take this opportunity to celebrate East Coast and West Coast seafood, because that's the real money when it comes to seafood. And especially when you're talking about New England and Seattle, that's where some of the best seafood lives. So, you know, when we're talking about New England, we're looking at, lobster rolls. Get your hands on a lobster roll, go up to St. Paul Fish. They make some of the best lobster rolls that I've had in a while. Grab yourself a lobster roll from up there, maybe some sushi, some smoked salmon. Nice. You know, if you can find the Charlie's Smokehouse smoked salmon, you know, it might not be from the Pacific Northwest, but hey, you can just sit back and think in your head that you're living up in the rainy Seattle. But I would say let the seafood win this year. Let's have a battle of seafood and bring all of the treats. You know,
that's a great answer.
You can always stop by the Shorewood Farmers Market, Winter Farmers Market, and pick all the snacks up you need.
I know I have so much to talk to you about, but I know you got to get back at it. So yep. I won't keep you through the news because I know you got to work. But I want to thank you for the recommendation about Charlie's Smokehouse, because I'm going to the Door County Film Festival next week. And my dad was just saying today, we got to find a place to eat. And he's all about making reservations ahead of time. So we'll look into that. You said it's in Gills Rock, right?
Yeah, Gills Rock. It might be close to the season's over, but I'll give you some, hit me up offline. I'll give you all the suggestions you need up in that area.
You got it. Dude, this is always fun. Best of luck with the new season. I'm sure you'll have 16 or 18 more, whatever it is. So keep up the great work. And
appreciate it, Pete. Always appreciate it.
Just crush it. Great work, man. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Thanks so
much. All right. That's Arthur Ersink. Check out Wisconsin Foodie, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night on PBS Wisconsin at 7:30 p.m. And it sounds like you could check it out on YouTube as well. So a really, really just a solid show. And if you're tired like I am of the short attention span editing, you have to check out Wisconsin Foodie. It's therapy, and it involves food, and it's very well done. All right, Aaron Zommer sitting in for Conrad tonight. Our question tonight: what is your favorite Jim Carrey movie? Let me know, and I will read it on the radio. Steve Segrin coming up in hour number two to talk about songs we never need to hear again. We're coming right back after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.